Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 182, top of the day to you, Tom.
Thanks, Leah. Hey, are your arms tired?
Yeah.
From all this flying? Not really from flying.
No, we're not flying.
What exciting thing is happening with us, Leah?
We're doing the pack and move as we go off to a brand new studio.
Yes, we're moving digs. We're getting to moving to a spot that's twice as big.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
So much room for activities.
I know. Think of all the fun we can have.
I'm going to do a lot of stop motion Lego.
I will probably watch it and giggle in the background.
So very exciting, but we're both a bit pooped because of that. We've been doing a lot of extra work.
There's a lot happening. Sometimes,
so we haven't watched as much as usual this week. We've got some good stuff.
Oh, yeah, I've watched good stuff. But
stuff we don't sink our teeth into.
It's quality over quantity.
Yeah, this week everyone gets a little bit of an early mark. Mm-hmm. Maybe, we'll see. We might end up rambling as long as usual.
You know us.
What do you call it in radio when you've got a...
Stretch.
Stretch. I was going to say pad, but pad is TV.
Pad, stretch. You should have known because you're doing the hand gesture. The proper radio hand gesture.
What do you think I was stretching with my hands?
I thought it was like putty or...
Gack. Do you remember gack?
Yeah.
Made the noise.
Yeah, so funny.
Play-Doh was fun, but it didn't make the noise. Gack.
But you couldn't also stretch Play-Doh that much.
It didn't, not that way, no. Yeah. You're right. It didn't have that elasticity.
It would have torn.
Bounce.
Yeah. Mm. I've got a quiz for you about actors in video games.
Cool beans.
So I think we've stepped away from the accents and actresses, and we're going to focus on this for a little bit.
Sure.
I know we've both watched a Army of the Dead, which would be really cool. Can't wait to hear your thoughts about it. And I've watched a couple of other things. Let's see if we get around to them.
Yeah. I got a few bits of news. I got a trailer.
And I think I've watched the trailer.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think so.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. Our local showbiz Night of Nights, otherwise known as the Watchersville Talent Quest, is quickly approaching and organisers are scrambling to fill empty slots. Usually by now they'd be knocking people back, but because of our town's feud with Showy Town, all entrants from there have been banned from entering the county. This has led to those showsters sneaking in under the cover of darkness and pretending to be one of us by attempting our accent. Well, we have to say it's not convincing and we certainly don't sound like that. They really are the worst, aren't they? Walking around thinking they're all better than us. Well, try being better when you can't win the talent quest. So if you know anyone or anything that has any sort of mildly interesting activity they can do on stage this Friday night, chances are they at the very least will get into the semis. Alexander Hamilton has had enough and would like us all to stop telling him to not throw away his shot. Yes, he's seen the musical. Yes, he does know the quote. No, he wasn't named after the show because he's a 45-year-old man. And Lin-Manuel Miranda didn't create the musical in the 1970s. And no, he doesn't like people constantly telling him to watch the Disney show. He had started referring to himself as A.Ham to get away from the whole comparisons, but that wasn't helpful. He now would like people to call him Hamilton Alexander. Next month, singer and part-time shirt wearer Jason Derulo will be holding a course in town on how best to sing your own name at the beginning of songs. He will walk participants through the benefits of opening songs like this, matching the melody and tempo to the rest of the tune, autocorrect, and why it's better to perform in as little clothes as possible. Book a spot today in this sure-to-be-fascinating class. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
Do you want to go first then?
Yeah, why not? Weird thing, but the day we're recording today would pretty much be, it should have been the day that John Wick 4 and Matrix 4 were meant to come out. It was meant to be Keanu Day.
Yeah.
And we've spoken about Mega Keanu Day before, about our excitement, and it's not to be. That's not really news. It's just a fuck you, COVID.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'd almost forgotten until you mentioned it. I was like, oh, that's right. That was that whole thing. And we were going to do a big and we didn't do it because it didn't happen.
Yep.
That's a shame.
Yep.
But do they have new dates? I can't remember.
I can't remember when.
Tentative date. Yeah, I think it's only tentative, not sort of set in stone dates. Mm. So that's a shame.
Mm.
But, we can all celebrate Keanu in our own way.
Oh, I try and find any moment to celebrate him that I can.
I think he's in the quiz today.
Huzzah! Yeah.
Now I'm just casting my mind back. I'm like, he's in the quiz. Henry Cavill, I saw last week, is going to be in Highlander, in the reboot, I should say, one of the lead roles. Actually, There can only be one. John Wick's director, actually, is working on the film. So I guess that kind of ties into the Keanu-ness of it all and also gives you an idea it gives you a context of what I think this movie's going to look like. But I'm going to be straight up with you. Mm. I really don't know much about Highlander at all.
I watched the original back in the day.
It's like from the 80s, right?
Yeah. It's good. You know, it's Sean Connery.
Christopher Lambert.
Yep.
Yep.
Some people are very enamored with that film, and I can see why they might not want it to be remade, but come on. Everyone else gets done.
Henry Cavill almost seems like the actor that people go to when they want a big actor to reboot a big iconic character.
Yeah.
You know, Superman, obviously. Geralt from The Witcher and now
and The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
There Can Only Be One. That's right. I forgot about that.
With Guy Ritchie.
And yeah.
He Whose Name Shall Not Be
we
Spoken
shall
Any Longer.
Not speak of that.
The Hammond Man. We should start another podcast where we just list films that would be better if Keanu was added.
Yes. I mean, they do say, you know, make a niche podcast and you will find your audience, and that's pretty damn niche. Yeah, I think quite accessible to everyone. A Keancast. Welcome to the Keancast. Yeah, I think that sounds good. I'm just trying to think of what kind of music it would be. Be a lot of bass, obviously. I think rock.
I'm sure that it's not too hard to license a bit of Dogstar. That was his band.
We could ask him. He seems nice.
He's pretty down.
He'd probably say yes.
Probably. Yeah.
Highlander, the reboot, not with Keanu.
Sure. Hey, speaking of yes, actually speaking of the opposite of yes, CW have said no to the Powerpuff Girls pilot, sending that to Sirius.
Oh, really?
Yes. However, they're reworking it with the same cast, showrunners, director, and writer.
Okay, well, that's good because there was a lot of hype about that.
Certainly was. People,
yeah, people
felt strongly either way.
Yeah. I must say, to be honest with you, I was in the whatever.
Look.
It's just because I don't know it that well. I know of it, but I don't know it.
I didn't watch it religiously or anything like that. I watched a bit of it. It could be good fun, but it sounded like they were being very sour and dour with what it was about.
Yeah.
I'm sure they are trying to lighten up parts of it to make it more like Archie was, because Archie was a huge hit for the CW.
And, you know, when you think CW, you already have in your mind Archie almost now as the prototype, where back in the day, CW, you would be thinking Dawson's Creek's kind of thing. And I mean, now that I'm saying it out loud, there's not really that big a difference.
There's no difference between them. They've had their fun with the superhero stuff on the side, but yeah, it's just teen drama.
Yeah.
In a wilder and wackier setting.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Speaking of wilder and wackier, we will be talking about Army of the Dead a little bit later on. But Dave Bautista was asked about, he pretty much put his foot in it. It was for the Hollywood Reporter, and they asked, you went down to Australia to shoot Thor 4 with the rest of the Guardians of the Galaxy cast. And they were kind of like, oh, what was it like with the 2-week quarantine? And did you have fun with, you know, Taika again? And he kind of went, well, assuming that I went to Australia to shoot Thor 4, I know that Chris Pratt has announced he's in that movie, but I haven't heard anybody at Marvel or Disney where it would be okay for me to say that I was in that movie.
Yep. Plausible deniability. A lot of people have been having a chat to Bautista, and he's been letting all things out and about. He doesn't mind his tongue at all.
No.
He's just like, yeah, I'm pretty much done with Drax. And someone's like, what, you don't want to play him anymore? He's like, no, my tits are sagging.
That's
what
amazing.
A perfect reason.
That's a great answer.
To recast it. He's literally like, I'm over 50. My pecs are no longer pecs. To keep this gorilla body going, it's not easy with the shirt off.
It must be a real lot. He also spoke about being in Knives Out 2, and it reminded me that Knives Out 2 is something I'm very excited to see.
It's a pretty killer cast. Everyone that's getting announced is like, all right.
Really good. And I think they're filming in Greece or something like that.
Ooh la la.
I think. Maybe they can film on the old Mamma Mia set. Perfect.
Here we go again.
Very good.
The podcast that stings like a bee, but does not float like a butterfly. That's ridiculous. We are the Watchers.
I don't know much about any of this, but Hocus Pocus 2 is a go for 2022. It's just a fun sentence to write and also say out loud.
But when you think about Hocus Pocus, like I think, oh yeah, I remember watching that movie way back when. It was fun. I don't really remember much about it, but it was a fun movie. But there's a real following to this film.
There is. That's why I bring it up. I don't think I've ever seen it. If maybe when I was very young, I don't remember it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the original people are back. So you've That's got good. Your. Let me see if your Bette Midler.
Yes.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
That's it.
And Kathy Nanjiani.
Otherwise known as...
Sister Act.
Yeah, Sister Act. She was in something else
Rat
as well.
Rat Race. She plays That's John it. Lovett's That's wife. That's
it. I watch Rat Race again. And
so good.
Though particularly that story with that family, hilarious.
Yep. It's pretty dark. Gosh. That movie is way better than you remember. It's not a... like.
Totally agree.
It's just a lot of great comedians kind of at their peak.
Yep.
Working for a week
yeah,
on something and then handing off, like passing the baton to the next team.
So good. Yeah, you're right. There were so many people in that. And when I watched it again, I went, I remember him. He was in stuff and I don't think I've seen him for a while. But he was with Seth Green, who was peak Seth Green, right? That's, around that time?
Yeah, because it's not long after he'd been on Buffy.
And
he'd done Clueless. No, Breckin Meyer's in. Yes, he's in Can't Hardly Wait.
Yeah,
Breckin Meyer is in Clueless.
It might have been a bit before Austin Powers, or maybe around that.
I think first Austin Powers was it 99 or 97? Maybe.
Maybe it was 97. So then, yeah, okay. So it was around that time.
It was peak acting Seth Green because yes. About 2004 or somewhere is where he started Stupid Monkey, and yep. Then ever since then.
Oh, he's busy. Yeah.
He's got too much
to do. Look, just pop this down in your diary now. Pop it in your favourites in Netflix. But Lindsay Lohan has been cast as one of the leads in a Netflix Christmas movie.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be so good. She's going to, it's a romantic.
She'd love a bloody white Christmas.
It's about a romantic comedy about a newly engaged spoiled hotel heiress. Who's that going to be? Who gets into a skiing accident and suffers from amnesia. She finds herself in care of a handsome blue-collar lodge owner and his precocious daughter in the days leading up to Christmas.
Wasn't that a movie with Kathy Bates? Misery?
Misery, yes. Oh, imagine if it has this really dark turn about halfway
everyone
through.
Everyone enjoy it. Wait a second. Are you fucking Lindsay Lohan? Did Lindsay Lohan break her legs on
you
my property?
Dirty, dirty birdie. Yeah,
you're my new sex toy.
Oh, gosh. It Ooh. Just sounds like a Hallmark movie, to be honest with you.
It does.
Just a slightly bigger budget.
Yeah. Really? Doesn't sound like a big budget thing.
Well, it depends, I guess, on who the male cast member is for her. Yep.
I'm going to guess someone like Dylan Walsh. Or what, Dermot, oh. What was it? Dermot Mullery?
Yeah, Mullery. What about, we were talking about CW before, One Tree Hill or whatever it was called, and the blonde guy in that, he was in a lot of stuff at
Chad
the time.
Chad Michael Murray?
Yes.
He's him. Too, I like that idea. I'm just trying to think young. The logger. And surely the logger's going to be older. Or is it going to be a similar age logger and the precocious child?
I think it's a precocious. I think because he could very well, like so easily have a 10-year-old who's precocious, right? You would say 10-year-old's precocious. Lindsay Lohan's how old? Mid-30s, maybe late 30s, something like that.
Oh, I think late, younger. Yeah. She's younger than me.
Okay, especially she's been around for a very long time. Yeah. She's like Drew Barrymore. You get shocked when you find out how young she actually is.
Yeah. Yeah, she's been bothering everyone for a while.
not Drew. Drew Barrymore's fine.
Now.
Oh, yeah, now. Oh, yeah, now.
Back in the day.
Oh, yeah, she was a bit
Drew
much.
Barry less. Thank you.
Solving mysteries, rewriting histories. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Get excited for this one. I know you've been clamoring for a new animated film.
Yes.
DC Super Pets will be coming out in 2022. The Rock will be voicing Crypto the Superdog.
Oh, that's cute. I mean, that's already got money, mate. Like, it's a profit already.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there's the pet Avengers for Marvel, and DC has their super pets. And if I can remember correctly, there's a purple monkey that hangs out with the Wonder Twins. Bozo? Grippo? I can't remember. It's something from the 60s.
Oh.
Old school thing. There's Crypto the Super Dog. There might be a dog that hangs out with the Green Lanterns or has a Green Lantern ring. I can't really remember. There's a whole bunch of animals that are sidekicks.
So let me guess. Mm. The baddies are cats and or reptiles.
It's more aliens.
Okay.
I think if you're an animal, you're on the team.
Right.
If you're repping Earth hard. I'm sure there have been, you know, villainous Lex Luthor-fueled cats in suits and stuff. I'm sure there's a bit of that in the mix. I have no idea where this will go. I haven't read a bunch of this stuff. I can tell you till I'm blue in the face about the bloody Marvel, the pet Avengers. Because they have Throg, the Thor frog.
Oh, cool.
At one
Not
point,
a Thor'd frog, a Thor frog.
I really hope that he finally, like, if it's going to be in a movie, it's going to be in a Taika movie. But there's a frog who was attempting to protect the other frogs in its pond from like a cat or something. And Thor was fighting someone and his hammer dropped there and the frog touched it by mistake and got imbued with a sliver of Thor's power and has his own tiny little hammer now.
That's
and
so
wears
cute.
A cape and a helmet and stuff and he can talk to people. But he's just he's a frog.
Well, he's not just a frog.
No, he's a frog.
He started off as just a frog.
But, he's a frog wearing a cape now. Like he didn't become humanoid or anything. He's just a goddamn frog.
Mm, I like this.
But he's super powerful.
Who would voice that?
Ooh.
Would an Elijah Wood be a good pick for that? Or?
It's not a bad call. Someone like that. It kind of needs to be someone who's really commanding.
Mm-hmm.
So I could almost see
Tom Selleck.
Ooh, that's pretty good. I was going to go like a Kit Harington.
Kit Harington, yes, very serious. Very serious.
So Throg takes it all very serious and he buys into the Asgardian lore, even though he's just a damn frog.
Right.
And the rest of them are like, all right, cool. Forsooth, I'm here to save the pond, all that sort of stuff.
Great.
The other one that could be amazing is Alan Partridge.
Mm.
Like get a Steve Coogan, get an English actor doing a very pompous, regal, Kenneth Branagh-esque.
But why don't you just ask Kenneth?
Sure. But it's just the idea that this frog gets so excited by the idea of being a god. He's not a god. Anyway, I'm rambling about things. The Rock is going to be voicing Superman's dog.
I assume if you've got The Rock, there'll be other big names announced later on, which is pretty cool.
If you aren't getting your watches fixed just by listening, follow The Watches on Twitter and Instagram.
So Timothy Shamalamalamale.
Oh.
Is apparently cast to be Willy Wonka in a like a prequel kind of origin story on Willy Wonka. Now, I heard someone say somewhere on the internet, they said, it was Abby Russell, used to be on Giant Bomb.
Sure.
She said, I don't get why they keep wanting to remake or rehash Willy Wonka because the first movie was great. Let's just leave it like that.
Is it because they want people like me who hate that first movie to maybe enjoy one of them? Because I hate that movie. I've told you before, Gene Wilder can do one.
No, yeah, that's true. But what about the books? Did you read the books?
I read the books. They're fine. I don't know. It's not just not something I'm super enamored by. Are we going to get an origin story for his Oompa Loompas?
I don't know. I don't. It just. But I understand why they've picked him. Because he looks like he could be really creepy. And Willy Wonka is creepy.
He is creepy. He's Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Do you remember Johnny Depp's weird teeth?
Yeah.
So, yeah, get excited. Get excited for that.
Whoa. Hey, here's my last piece of news. Then we've got a trailer.
Mm.
And it's not one that I have particularly much detail on, but if I'm going to really out myself for some nerdiness here that I don't know if I've talked about on the show. If you're a big fan of Warhammer like I am, get excited because there's a paid-for subscription service coming for a lot of animated series that they're doing.
Have they done animated stuff before?
Very, very small-scale stuff that is like intro videos or ads for new editions and things like that. There are a lot of people who fan-wise have made things and over the last 6 to 12 months Warhammer's slowly been getting in contact with people and bringing them into the fold. And so they've been producing series or working on series productions for stuff to come out. And everyone was wondering where they were going to do it. Was it just going to be for YouTube or whatever? No, they are launching Warhammer Plus, a very original name.
What does it mean?
From what I understand, and like there was a preview of it on the weekend, but it was at 3 a.m. So fuck that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that was an appropriate time for England and America, but you keep screwing us. Go back to 1 a.m. like it was earlier in the year, boys. Anyway, they announced, I think, 10 or 11 different animated series. Some of them are set in the fantasy world of Warhammer, the world that was, or Age of Sigmar, as it is known now. And then there's also plenty in Warhammer 40,000 or Necromunda or the various space-aged settings in the future.
There was a movie.
There was a Space Marine movie a while back.
Was that?
It was animated. John Hurt.
There was also another movie, and I'm not sure if I've got the wrong franchise now, because sometimes I get Warhammer mixed up with Warcraft. But there was a movie, and it had the Aussie actor who was in Vikings.
World of Warcraft.
Okay, yeah, yes. Okay. And I know they're two separate things, but for me, the names sound exactly the same.
A better way to think of it is the future stuff, think Starship Troopers.
Yep.
It's like okay. that. So the in that city there's the Imperial Guard, also known as the Astra Militarum, and they are the humans fed into the churning war machines.
Whoa!
You know,
that sounds really Doom like.
The whole like the tagline in the grim in the far flung future there is only war, and it's just it's like they invented the term grim dark.
Is which one does Henry Cavill like?
So he's painting Warhammer.
Yeah.
Yes. Warhammer 40,000, the future stuff. What he posted up was something called Adeptus Custodes, and they are the Royal High Garden Wardens of the Emperor on the throne.
Yeah, right.
Who died in 30,000, something like that. And he's been on a life support chair for 10,000 years.
Chair? They don't even give him a bed to lie on.
He's plugged in with all these cables and
it's just easier.
He burns through like 1,000 psychics a day.
Holy wait, psychics? Alive.
Yeah.
As all in people?
Yeah, they all get shoved into the machine to power the machine, keep him alive. He's not a good emperor. And these are ostensibly the good guys, but the whole point of the setting is that no one is right.
Just worried about the fact that they have at least 1,000 psychics.
Per day
when... How many of them are like faking it? You wouldn't fake it though. You wouldn't fake it if you knew that you were going to get sucked into the...
You wouldn't. Because there's this whole like the Imperium of the good guys and there's chaos and they come from beyond the veil and there's a rift that's been open and you know, for the last 30 years there were people trying to come through that, and then about 5 years ago they actually like moved the storyline forward and tore a great rift in the galaxy and it's split in half. And so there's... parts of the Imperium is on the other side of that split and can't get back home. And so they're going rogue and feral and
trying to get home.
Their psychics are moving in a different direction.
Oh, okay. And,
yeah.
So with the storyline, is that playable with the characters or like the ones you paint, or is the storyline in a comic?
Bits of both.
Okay.
So a lot of the characters from the novels and things like that, if they don't have a named version of their character, you can easily recreate that and use that character to lead your army and things like that. And then, there have been several comics, and the Black Library is their publishing arm, and they put out like 3 to 5 books per week.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
How do you keep up with it?
You don't have to read all of them.
Okay.
You just pick and choose your stuff. Yeah. So Raven Guard, they're my boys. Okay. They're about sneaky infiltrators and stuff.
I'm not stealthy.
Yes. My whole thing is stealth and misdirection. I'm not going to charge up in your face with chain swords. I'm not going to stand back and blast you with guns.
Yeah.
I'm going to move before turn one and sneak up behind you and stab you in the back.
So sneaky.
One for the head.
What, the back of the head?
Always,
every time.
Mm.
Should we have a look at this trailer?
Yes,
well, not
let's
have
do
a look.
It.
I mean, have you look at it, and then we'll chat about it. It's of course the Eternals trailer. We had a teaser trailer. I believe this is also called a teaser trailer as well.
Still,
but it looked more trailery,
long.
Right?
Still 2 minutes long. Doesn't give you much idea of any plot or things like that.
There's pretty much no plot.
Yeah,
so it was more like an origin story of the world.
Yes,
or universe.
Yes, so I'm going to try and distill this as quickly as I can, simply as I can. The Celestials we have seen in previous Marvel movies, specifically the Guardians of the Galaxy, they were the people that created the stones that Thanos wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And they are 50-story tall, robotic-looking gods that kind of float through the universe. And at some point in the far distant past of humanity, they came to Earth and decided that it would be, you know, humans already happening, so they would create two races, the Eternals and the Deviants, and leave them to the Earth. And the Eternals decided that they would become protectors of Earth, especially against the Deviants. And the Deviants, in medieval times, would have been portrayed as demons.
Mm-hmm.
Now we would see them as supervillains. You know, they kind of have adapted with the times. Sometimes they look ogre-ish. Sometimes they can pass for humans. It's all sorts of stuff like that. So the Eternals are part of a grand machine that is plugged into Earth, that in the same way that the Earth is constantly rejuvenating itself, if they die, they come back. They're eternal. So they're reborn over and over again.
Do they get reborn or respawned, whatever, at a particular place, or is it where they died? So, for example, let's say Angelina Jolie's character dies on a battlefield in Egypt, right? Does she get reborn there, or does she get reborn
back?
Back, okay.
Back at the place.
Yep.
Back at the place. Got to, you know.
Yep. That's easier.
Come out with that fresh car smell.
Much easier, yeah.
So it's not like a die. It's not like The Old Guard, that movie with Charlize,
mm-hmm.
where she dies and then instantly gets back up. This is kind of like you die, but.
Yeah, you start again.
Start again. And they have, I'm not sure which storyline they're going with, so I don't want to wade too far down the path with things, but there have been various points where they're reincarnated without any of their memories.
Oh, okay. Like so, none at all, or?
Yes. So
wow.
Gemma Chan, her character Cersei, has spent a lot of time. She's been an Avenger. She spent a lot of time in the actual Marvel Universe itself mingling because she was not aware of her status as one of the Eternals. She just thought she was superpowered, this sort of stuff. So some of them shun humanity and want very little to do with it. Some of them are super integrated.
Like a Bollywood star, perhaps?
Yes. So Kumail is playing Kenji, and he became the biggest Hollywood star on the Bollywood star on the planet. This film is going to be bonkers. I honestly can't tell you what's going to happen, and I'm really excited about that with a Marvel movie. Kit Harington's in there. We get a very brief shot of him in the trailer.
It's so funny that he looks just like Jon Snow, just not in that outfit.
100% that's what they're going for.
Mm.
They're going to pull the rug out on us. They're making make us think he's Jon Snow and then pull the rug. We've got the deaf lady from Walking Dead. She's super speedster. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's hard to say. Don Lee from Train to Busan. He's Gilgamesh. So it's a very international cast.
I can't remember his name.
Haven't even touched on. Is it Barry Keoghan?
Think so.
I think it's the name. I haven't even touched Jolie's in there. Angelina Jolie, Salma Hayek.
Yep. Richard.
It's a big cast.
Do you think because it's such a big cast, it's going to be more of a setting up movie where it's like the first episode where there will be a storyline, but there's so many characters that they're going to have to be like, well, watch the next few movies?
I'm hoping not. I have a feeling that this is going to play a lot more with the past, and we're going to see where they've slotted into the Marvel Universe in the past and things we didn't know they were involved with. And I think it's going to have a lot more of a Game of Thrones style feeling where there'll be a few characters that are central and step out and others are part of their storylines type of thing. It's not going to be equal showing between everybody.
Okay. That does make sense because some of them are very big names.
Yes.
Like massive.
Yes. Yeah. And the Eternals very rarely, of any of the stuff I've read anyway, very rarely all fight together. They're separate societies, all this sort of stuff. So it could be that we're watching a murder mystery and someone's been murdered and we're backtracking through trying to work out who and, you know, how do you, when you've known someone for 20,000 years and you suspect that they're probably the murderer, how can they change your mind?
What do you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, intriguing. I'm assuming we'll get little drips of these teasers.
I think so. I think we'll have more of an idea what's going on when we get an actual trailer.
Yeah.
Because they didn't show a single villain.
No. No, they didn't.
Irish bloke Keoghan, he could be a villain. His character is villainous, but he was sitting happy with everybody.
Yeah, they were happy with him.
Yeah, so they might just be focusing on the deviants.
Yeah, okay.
Stay tuned.
Ooh. Cool.
All right.
Let's get into some watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Let's talk about Army of the Dead. What
let's
do you reckon?
Do it.
Let's do it. That movie, I have to say right now, I had to watch in three different parts because I kept getting interrupted or I ran out of time. It still did not detract from the stupid fun enjoyment. Like, it's stupid fun. I think that's what I thought it was going to be. So for me, I wasn't disappointed. I got exactly what I thought I would get.
Agreed. It delivered for me on what I wanted, which was just some mindless fun. It started out a lot stronger than it finished, I think. But what zombie movie doesn't?
And I must say, I was not a huge fan of Kate.
Oh, yeah, fuck off.
Being a little spoilery.
Everyone died because of her.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's why they're no longer here.
Yeah. She fucked up the plan. Yeah. Her and Garrett from...
Mr. John Dory himself.
Yeah. He's fucking done with zombies, clearly.
We'll never see him in a zombie movie or TV show again, but that's fine.
That's all right. He had a bit of fun here. He was concerned with the zombie tiger.
I really, really, really enjoyed the strange walk run that the showgirl zombie did.
Sure.
Where, like, she had her arms backwards.
Yes.
But, like, was leaning forward. It almost looked like that run that people tried to do, you know, where they had their arms.
I believe she's a Cirque du Soleil performer.
Makes sense that she was doing a lot of squat walking, yeah, and I thought those thighs are going to be really super sore if she doesn't know what she's doing.
Again, putting the spoiler tag and stuff. Did you see anything weird about any particular zombies? I'm trying to dance around this. If you didn't see it,
which bit?
So some of them, when they get shot or when they die, the zombies and their heads blow up, blue sparks come out.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, some of them were robots.
Hmm. Oh, makes me want to go back and watch it now.
And Bert, who is the main zombie, who wears the helmet, he bleeds blue.
Yeah, you're right.
So there's a lot of theories going about this film, none of which, it's just Zack Snyder fucking with people as he likes to do. But there's a theory that they're stuck in an infinite time loop. When they find those skeletons, one of them is dressed exactly with what Bautista's wearing.
But that's what they say.
That's what they say, and they point out. And that's that whole idea of when we open this vault, there will be a rebirth or there will be a death. Da, da, da. But, yeah, there's robot zombies throughout, and that it doesn't happen just once. There's a whole bunch through there, if you watch closely, that have blue eyes or, like, light up blue eyes, yeah, or they're, like, when their heads literally explode with blue. People thinking that Bert is an alien or infected someone at Area 51 and that's why he was being transported and stuff, but yeah.
But my assumption was he is man-made.
Agreed.
Yeah. I really liked that there were times in that movie, actually most of the movie, zombies were not the bad guys.
No.
They were just...
Zack Snyder said he was trying to make Braveheart, but from the other side.
Hmm.
And we were the bad guys. And we fucking are. If you watch that movie, like... They weren't bothering anyone. They're just staying in their kingdom.
They were also oblivious to the fact that they weren't there for long. So why didn't you just let them enjoy that time?
And like that coyote woman should feel a lot more remorse for what she done, because how many fucking people has she kneecapped and given them to build their army?
Also really was impressed with the digitally replacing of Tig. And that Tig was in there. There were a couple of little scenes, particularly group shots, when they were meeting, you know, the head honcho of the plan. And I was like, oh, she looks a bit wrong there. But I think because I was like really paying attention.
So he filmed it with something called I think it's called Dream Cam or something like that. It was a lens developed in Japan in the 70s and not used in Western culture particularly much. It's great at putting whatever you want in focus and then everything else is blurred. So when it came time to digitally replace her, any scenes where it's just her and one other person were relatively easy because the other person was in focus. They film her in focus, all good. Mm. Any of the group shots, especially walking group shots,
yep,
were so fucking hard to add her to that they found that if they just instead filmed her blurry or even made it, they made a blurry 3D render of her and could add that to shots much easier than actually trying to film her and insert. Very interesting stuff. This.
Insane.
A lot of work.
And it was really interesting because when particularly Dave Bautista's role was talking about the helicopter pilot, there was never a gender.
No.
And I thought, obviously they've edited that because there would have been moments when the script says he, because the original guy was – the original pilot was a he. But if I wasn't paying attention, I would never know.
Yep.
Never know.
They spent a few million at least.
Not surprised.
On getting Tig in there.
Far out.
Like the budget of a small film.
What I love about that though is how on board the internet was with having Tig in there.
Yeah. No one, like everyone's loved Tig for like 15 years.
Yeah.
Okay, realistically, everyone's loved Tig for 5 years, but in comedy world, she's been big for like 15.
Yeah.
So a huge breakout role like that, replacing someone that the comedy world has hated long before stuff came out about him. It's just so well done. And you're constantly smoking near gas. Every shot, gas tank strapped to her back, filling up a gas tank, whatever it is, smoking a stogie.
Yeah.
Blah.
Very, very funny. Are you going to watch it again or do you reckon you've gotten out what you need?
Look, I will watch whatever the prequel stuff is. I will have a look at that. I'm not racing to see the film again, but if someone wants to watch it, I'll happily watch it with them again.
Watch it again.
And I'm sure in a little while I'll get the itch and I'll be like, yeah, I'll watch that again. The first 20 minutes.
There were some really good zombie or human deaths in
As soon as the music kicked in,
yeah,
I was like, oh, this is going to be Richard Cheese. And then he sang. So Richard Cheese is like a really famous only in LA, Las Vegas lounge singer who does Radiohead covers and Slipknot and stuff. But
he was the Armor Creep guy.
Yes. Yep. So Richard Cheese with Lounge Against the Machine. That's his band.
Brilliant name.
And just he's singing it. And then there's that shot of Elvis and the Eiffel Tower's coming down. And they're like, watch out, Elvis. It's like, fuck yeah, Richard Cheese. You recorded this special. This isn't just them using a recording of you. This is you working with.
Yeah.
It's good.
Good. Excellent.
Properly powered like a Petrelli brother. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I took Shay to the movies. Now that I broke my movie going cherry and saw Mortal Kombat, I was like, well, let's Shay and I go. So we went and saw Tom and Jerry and she loved it and it was fine. I didn't get super into it, but I was pretty tired and it wasn't aimed at me. It was not like Shrek or something with lots of jokes for adults included as well.
This I get you.
A much lower ball. Chloe Grace Moritz is the main girl. She does a fine job. She's not Amy Adams. So it's Amy Adams I put as the peak of interacting with cartoons in a sweet Disney way.
I get you. Because at first I was like, what are you
Enchanted,
doing?
Baby.
Yeah.
Enchanted 2. No. Is it called Enchanted or Disenchanted? Disenchanted. Yeah, it is Enchanted. Disenchanted's that cartoon. Enchanted 2 is filming at the moment. That's the peak of this. And she was not quite there. But Michael Peña, who is amazing in everything, but I love him as Lewis, the best friend in Ant-Man 1 and 2, the guy that tells the really long stories. He plays he's not the bad guy, but the foil.
Yep, fair enough.
Rob Delaney from
Catastrophe?
Yes, he's in Catastrophe. Yep. He's also in Deadpool 2. He plays Peter, the non-superpowered guy who joins the team.
Yep.
I just saw the ad. It sounded like fun. So there's a lot of cool people scattered through there and you know, maybe did a couple of days work themselves for the film and stuff. But it is very difficult to build a 90-minute plus film based around two characters who don't talk.
Yeah, that does make sense because when you think about those shows, the episodes that we watched when we were kids, they were Like, they're only 20-minute episodes, really.
And that would have, like, three episodes of storyline.
And that was enough. Together.
And that was plenty. So, yeah, trying to make it stretch out. I was saying this earlier that Jerry's an asshole. He kicks off everything. Tom is hustling in the park trying to make some money. And Jerry thinks that he can steal his money and ends up breaking Tom's piano. And so for the rest of the movie, I was like, fuck you, Jerry. Mm. You're an asshole. Mm. You caused this. You meant to, oh, he's a cute little rascal. And we'll look at this rascal. Fuck off. Fuck off.
But when you think about people characters, like even the Roadrunner.
Mm.
Roadrunner pretends that the Roadrunner's innocent, but the Roadrunner knows what they're doing. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl.
I think it's a girl. Okay. No, you're right. It is. No, it's a boy. Really sure. It's a boy because there's been a pink Roadrunner.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, there you go. You know, like that standing in place, waiting for Wiley to come along and pounce when the Roadrunner knows there's a boulder coming. Like, they know. Mm-hmm. They know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cartoons are evil. Exactly. Anyway, Tom and Jerry, if you've got an under 10-year-old, they will love this mm-hmm. film.
But
if you are over 10 and you don't have a child with you, not for you.
Okay.
Move along.
That's good.
Move along.
Good heads up. I checked out the first episode of Amazon Prime's Underground Railroad.
Ah, yes, with
old mate our William. Aussie.
Oh, no.
Oh. Who is? Well, there's a lot of people in there.
Okay, I was going to say, what's his name, William Harper? From Good Place.
Yes, yeah. Cheedy.
Yes.
Yeah. So I listened to the audiobook of Underground Railroad. That's really hard to say. By Colson Whitehead, probably about 5 years ago now. And I really enjoyed it. But watching that first episode, it's pretty full on. I mean, you know, it's not about a fun story.
Yeah, this is...
I went and watched an episode of The Great North right afterwards because I just needed something light. But it's beautiful. The acting is amazing. But I think it's a bit much for me right now.
That's the same reason why I still haven't gotten through The Stand. It's just not right now.
Yeah, it's
great.
It's there ready for me, but I think I need to watch some lighter stuff, which is why Army of the Dead, you know, did it for me.
Did the job.
But, you know, if you are interested, it's a wonderful story. The book's amazing, and it looks like the TV show is really going to do it justice, but it's just a lot right now.
Sure.
But if you feel you're ready, go for gold.
You do you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else you've watched?
Look, I will briefly mention MODOK. I've spoken about this in the past. I don't feel properly equipped to give a proper review yet. In the States, it's on Hulu and they've dropped the full season. Everywhere else, it's on Star, the adult part of
Disney
Plus. Yep. But we're only getting an episode a week. So we've only had the first episode and I enjoyed it thoroughly. But having read some reviews of what's to come later in the season, check back in with me in a few weeks. But okay. I will say... much better than I was expecting.
Oh, that's good.
It's very, very silly. It's very violent in a different way to Invincible, mm-hmm. but sort of scratches that same adult cartoon itch. But it also is weirdly depressing in that trying to take over the world by day isn't working out as well for him as it should. And then at night, it's causing terrible marital strife.
Right. Okay.
So... poor big-headed dude's entire life is crumbling around him. And all he can, it's perfect because he screams everything like, for whom does MODOK kneel? No one. So he talks ye olde.
Yeah, I saw you, we watched a trailer just before and the voice is great.
Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, so you know, I knew kind of what it was going to sound like, but I really think he's done a real stellar job.
So indignant about everything.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think I might try and watch some of that.
It's worth it. It's only short little episodes, 20-minute episodes or something like that. And it's not MCU canon, I don't think. It's not tying into the movies in any way or anything like that. But, yeah. And it's produced by the Robot Chicken guys, but it's not this usual silly scatological. Robot Chicken at their best when their skits last a minute tops.
Yeah.
Because their jokes are very... solid, but need to
get out. The pot. Yeah.
Whereas this is just letting things breathe.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
MODOK. Stay tuned.
Now, the last thing I didn't watch, I read, and it's a book that I remember reading in about year seven. It was called Space Demons. Yeah, and Steph, aka Tidy, brought it home because she's a teacher, and she's like, "Do you remember this?" I was like, "Yeah, I remember that." It was about kids who were playing a video game and get sucked into it, and then they got to try and get out. I'm like, I'm going to read this. It's not very long. I'm going to read this.
Yeah.
See how much I remember and see if it holds up. I reckon they could do a movie of it today, or even like a series on something.
Isn't that Jumanji? Isn't that what the new version of Jumanji is?
Yeah, I guess so. But this is like more like it feels like the stakes are really high.
Okay. So like Tron.
A bit Tron-y. Yeah, but with kids and the game affects their emotions and how they act to people. And the more the game affects their emotions and the way they act towards other people, the more the game is oozing out into the real world.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's an Aussie book. I think it's set in Melbourne or something. But, oh, my gosh, some of the things they say is so old-fashioned. I think even for the 80s, I think people would have, like, don't talk about that. Kids don't say that. But, yeah, it was funny to reread a book that you have vague memories of enjoying back when you were a kid and then going, not that bad.
Yeah.
The premise is there.
I had that a couple of years ago when I finally tracked down, and I can't remember, someone, Keller, who wrote Taronga? Is it called? Yeah, Taronga.
Yeah.
Do you remember that book?
No.
The apocalypse happens and there's only a handful of people left, and there's this teenage boy who can talk to animals with his mind.
Yeah, right.
Unknowingly. And for some reason he decides to break into the zoo here in Sydney because he thinks that'll be a good place to hold up. But unfortunately there's already a gang that had taken over the zoo and they force him into labor. But he forms a bond with one of the tigers that may or may not help him later.
Perfect.
And it was the same deal. In my brain, I was like, oh, that's got to be a kiddie thing. And then I read it. And it's fucking good.
It's another one I wouldn't mind rereading. Bridge to Terabithia.
Yeah, sure.
I wonder how that goes.
Don't bother with any movie.
No, I haven't seen them yet. Nah. Because I remember that was pretty bleak reading at the time.
Yeah. Some of them you forget. Like I did Wrinkle in Time with Shay. And she just did not care for it. But you know, I was getting into like, let's talk about Tesseracts. This is great.
Yeah. Sure. Is there anything else?
I will say quickly, I've been building a fantastic Lego set. It's coming out next week if you're interested. I think 2 years ago I showed off the Lego Friends
Central Perk. Yes. Yeah.
So the apartments set is coming out. One of them is Joey and Chandler's apartment. The other one is Rachel and Monica's, at least at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And there's a hallway in between. But there's all the lighting rigs on the sides and everything like that. So it's set up like a film set.
Oh, wait, you get the hallway in between.
Yes.
Awesome.
Complete with dessert and spoon on the ground.
Amazing.
For fighting over all this. There's a lot of in-jokes through there. Comes with a chicken and a duck.
Good.
There's a giant canoe. There's a fancy dog's sculpture.
That stupid dog sculpture.
There's that
fucking
awful statue thing that Phoebe carved.
Oh, forgot about. Wow. Okay, you're going to need to show me what that looks like in Lego form because I can't picture that.
But where I'm going with this is I've been having a whale of a time building that, and while I've been building it, I've been listening to the new Weezer album.
Mm.
And Weezer came through with the goods. I fucking adore Weezer, but every second album is shit, and they acknowledge that. So the coloured albums are the good ones. Your green, blue, red, white, black. They're the good ones. A lot of Pinkerton, I love, but it bucks the trend. All the other ones can pretty much Ratitude can get fucked. Right. Hurley can get fucked.
Yeah, right.
This one is called Van Weezer, and the whole theme is the 80s excessive rock that Rivers grew up with, channeling that. There's a couple of great songs. One of the songs was used as the main song in Bill and Ted 3 last year. But there's a track on there that is a new version of a song that they originally recorded or wrote for Pinkerton and didn't make the album. And it sounds like old school Buddy Holly influenced, like surf rock. Yeah, yeah. It's so good. Sheila can do it. Oh, my God. So a big applause for Weezer for not only having a solid album that's not a coloured album, but even more, most Weezer albums have got like three or four tracks that are like fucking bangers and the rest are fine.
Mm.
And there's always a dud or two. And this one, it's not till track 9 that you get to one song that's like, eh, and then track 10's great again. It's only a half hour album.
Interesting. Get half in. Hour's not long. Yeah.
And they're all like 2.5, 3 minute songs.
Yeah, Weezer songs are not that long, are they, now that I think about it? Mm.
So I Rivers is amazing. I'm obsessed with him. He kept a journal through the 90s trying to break down the perfect music theory for writing the perfect pop song. And like he reckons Kurt Cobain was the closest to it that any non-pop star has ever gotten before. But he's got all this theory written about of how Lennon wrote lyrics and how Cobain wrote melody. And everything he writes gets referred back to this journal of how does it fit in there. So it means any Weezer song that comes on, you'll know it's Weezer within the first 10 seconds, and then it does not stray from what they do. It's just, he's like.
Definitely is not writing with a stream of consciousness. That it sounds really like directional.
Yes. And like part of that is because Pinkerton, which was their Difficult to Help second album, which now is critically loved and stuff, and at the time bombed hard. That was all really personal lyrics and stuff, and him writing about his own experiences and difficulties with girls and things, and it went so poorly that he took that to mean that no one wants to hear about his problems. So now Weezer lyrics are really esoteric, weird. Maybe they mean something, maybe they don't. Some of the songs sound like they have a bit of depth to them. Some of the songs are called fucking Pork and Beans.
Which is real sort of presidents of the United States of America kind of stuff there, which, you know, got a lot of time for.
Yeah, but it's just been great because I don't think it was since about April last year was when Enter Shikari's last album came out. And that was the last one that grabbed me by the throat and made me go, you're listening to this on a loop.
Yeah, I love that feeling where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm obsessed with this and I'm going to listen to it until I'm over it.
Well, I thought the new Royal Blood album, like it's got some great grooves. I thought that was going to grab me and I was enjoying that for a couple of days and then this Weezer album hit and it's just on a loop in the car. Just.
How long do you reckon you'll have?
Oh, a couple of weeks.
That's all right.
So Lily, very excitingly, I talk about Shay all the time, but Lily is the other baby, the other kid. So she's 8 months now and she just got front-facing car seats so she can look at me and stuff now. So it means I have to put on songs appropriate for her. So unfortunately, I've started backpedaling and sliding into like Yo Gabba Gabba and no wiggles in the car. She can watch Wiggles on TV, but no Wiggles in the car. And then Mike Furman and a bunch of other cool, funny comedian stuff for kids.
What about Regurgitator? They did or have done children's.
They have stuff. Done. Yeah, you're right.
Might be worth seeing if it grabs her.
Yeah. She quite enjoys the epic rap battles of history stuff. So Shay loves that. So we will listen to those That's without awesome. The video in the car.
Video's a majority anyway.
I know.
All right, let's get into a quiz.
Boo.
What game did the actor work on? So what game did these actors appear in?
Sure.
The first actor is Norman Reedus. It's not that long ago.
Was it called Death Stranding?
Death Stranding.
Yeah. Is that a Hideo?
Yeah, Kojima. Yeah. I didn't play it.
Me neither.
I heard it was weird. And if you liked it, you liked it. If you didn't, you didn't. What about Matthew Perry? This is one I didn't know about. So I've got some clues for you.
Matthew Perry.
So open world, I think it's a Bethesda game set in the post-apocalypse wasteland of Vegas.
Fallout Las Vegas?
New Vegas. Yeah, he played a character called Benny. People say the New Vegas Fallout is brilliant. I just haven't played it.
Sure.
But he got the role because he was obsessed with, I think, Fallout 3. So I was like, please, can I be in it?
People get really obsessed with those games, pour a lot of time in.
Yeah. But those open worlds, you can.
Yeah.
You can just go and do stupid stuff. If you don't, like, you know, like GTA, like how old is GTA 5 at this point?
I think 2012.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. And they're still pumping out new stuff for it.
They're playing it every day. What about Mark Hamill?
Hamill. It was in Arkham games as Joker.
Yeah, so a character character he played many times before, but yeah.
I have to say, Lily really laughs at my Jared Leto, Joaquin Phoenix joke laughter.
And she gets the giggles.
Yeah, she thinks it's her. It's the fakest laugh, but she thinks it's hilarious.
Don't even smile when you do it.
No.
We did promise this before, but Keanu
is in Cyberpunk
2077. As Johnny Silverhand, you don't play as him. I haven't played this one.
Mm.
I've heard there's so many problems with it. Mm. I've just steered clear.
Mm.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Do you need some clues?
Let me have a think for a moment. Mm-hmm. So I could very easily see him being in a Grand Theft Auto.
Yes, I will need you to elaborate.
Oh, the one with bloody Los Santos. Is it San Andreas?
Yeah, San Andreas. He played Frank Tenpenny.
Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah.
How is there not a Snakes on a Plane the game?
Even if it's just like a quick game.
Oh, yeah, on a mobile phone, be an endless runner, and your job is to run up and down the aisles of the plane just getting the snakes motherfucking out. Snakes of that motherfucking plane.
Yes, that's brilliant. Final one, Kit Harington.
I did done a Call of Duty, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Him and Sam Worthington and all the other bland, faceless people trying to get ahead.
Do you remember the other one that was in one of the Call of Duties? We don't speak of him.
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
As Frank Underwood. Well, he wasn't playing Frank, but it was clearly meant to be Frank.
Yeah,
it was
sort of the
right?
same character. Yeah, Kit Harington was in Call of Duty Infinite Warfare.
The future one.
Yeah, right.
Sam Worthington's in the Vietnam or the Cold War one.
The newer one or the... Oh, Black Ops.
Yeah.
So was Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been in any of these, but I'll say it anyway. 50 Cent had a game called 50 Cent in the Desert or something like that.
Sounds like a real PlayStation 2 type of game.
It was fucking great.
What did he do in it? What was it?
Oh, it was like Call of Duty, but it was you as 50 Cent, like, liberating Iraq or something? I know. It was fucking bonkers. But yeah, let's do this.
Bizarre. Never heard of
it. And it wasn't like, so Vin Diesel owned his own video game company.
He's a big gamer.
Yeah. I don't think they've put out anything in years, but the stuff that they did, especially the Riddick games, were fantastic. This was not that. This was 50 Cent teaming up with someone to make a bunch of money, and they were going to put out this game about, like, you know, the back streets of Baghdad or something like that. And they're like, can we slap you on there? And he's like, fuck yeah, you can. Give me some money.
I really need to go and watch this on YouTube.
It's great.
I can't figure out. I can't even picture it.
It's up. It came out roughly the same time as when Eminem was starring in a Punisher comic. Yep.
These are two things I didn't know happened. So I'm glad we've had this conversation.
Punisher hanging out with Eminem is great.
Really busy doing research now, post-podcast research. On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
That's us moving to the new place.
I wasn't sure if it was Vin Diesel in his.
No, I'm not fast nor furious right now. I'm in a good mood. We've had a good nice record and we're moving.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, everyone. Don't miss us too much.